This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The Yankees are down in Baltimore. We'll get you set for that game coming up in a little bit. Mets are home for a brief three-game series against the Diamondbacks. Then they go back on the road. And, of course, it could be elimination night tonight at Madison Square Garden as the Knicks look to close out the Detroit Pistons. We'll get back to your phone calls as well as the odd relationship that Bill Belichick has, not just with his girlfriend, but with Robert Kraft. But there are a few people that would like to respond to me confessing to you that I may have gone in a cup while I was watching sporting events the other night. And not using a restroom in my very own home. Mm-hmm. Ari in Valley Cottage, how are you, Ari?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. First off, let's go Knicks. Hopefully they close it out tonight. Mm-hmm. Secondly, Evan, I have tremendous respect for you, for your fandom. You know, season tickets to the Knicks when you're not even a fan. You know, taping games when you go on date night, watching them in the middle of the night. A lot of respect. But on a April 27th, Sunday afternoon, regular season game in your own home, don't you have DVR?
I'm a baby. Yes. I will explain why I prefer going at a cup versus pausing. Are you ready?
I'm a baby.
And I'll let you respond because I have my reasons. I was watching the Knicks, the Mets, and the Yankees all at the same time. That's a lot of pauses.
I'm a baby.
And then if I'm paused on everything, then I got to press play and I got to skip. Like, it's just too much of a confusing mess to pause multiple games at the same time.
Yeah, how long, though, does it take to get up and go downstairs? Yeah.
What do you mean?
It's got to be less than 20 seconds.
I've timed myself, believe it or not. It takes about 52 seconds.
Think about the words Evan just used, Tiki.
Yeah.
It's a confusing mess.
That's right.
To pause three games at once.
Three games.
But urinating in a cup on carpet, not a confusing mess.
Well, that's not confusing. It's pretty basic. You take the cup out, you go, and that's it.
Are you aware of splashing?
Yes. And you still got to stand up. I mean, standing up is half the battle.
But the lazy part is, I don't want to stand up. What if he had his blinds open and his Fred, his next door neighbor, sees everything?
That's on them for looking at.
No, that's on you. There's a reason we have societal rules, even in your own home.
Let's go to Eric in Huntington. How are you, Eric?
Hey, Evan. How come you didn't just go in the sink? Why include the cup at all?
That's a great question,
that's
Eric.
That's a great question. I give you the answer.
Is it too high?
I'm going to have to measure this. Yes, I'm standing up. Hello, SNY, by the way. You came in on a great conversation. where the sink is, I'd have to, get on my tippy toes, right. Almost lift my leg up on my dog.
Which is dangerous.
Yeah, it's dangerous. And then you're worried about splatter.
Right. That's or going completely in the wrong place.
Yeah.
That's everywhere.
That's a dangerous place. Let me get to Bill Belichick here. So I didn't know. I honestly didn't even know he was doing an interview with CBS Sunday Morning, which is a hell of a show.
Well, I mean, it's probably because of the book tour.
Right. Which I even forgot he wrote a book, which I'm sort of interested in.
I didn't remember it until they had that report or whatever, that news piece that he didn't include Robert Kraft in it.
Right. That's what jogged my memory because unfortunately when you don't read a book, you only kind of get the headlines, the sexy clickbaity headlines that come along with it. So I saw that he did the interview. I, like everyone else, wanted to watch it. And to me, there were two things that were just so weird. Now, one is getting a lot of attention, and that's the relationship he has with his girlfriend, which
he's also his publicist.
Who's his publicist and assistant and everything else. And the whole thing with Jordan Hudson, I don't know how much I care about it.
I don't really. It just, whatever.
But, see, I don't care about it. But
when you tell me, don't look here, you make me want to look there. So while I never cared about Bill Belichick and Jordan Hudson's relationship, in the interview, and I'll play you this clip for those that have not heard it yet, Jordan Hudson is interrupting the interview. Apparently, she did it a lot of times and did not want him to answer the question of where they met. So here's a clip from CBS Sunday Morning, and you will hear the interaction with the interviewer, Bill Belichick, and Jordan Hudson.
Jordan was a constant presence during our interview.
You have Jordan right over there. Everybody in the world seems to be following this relationship. They've got an opinion about your private life. It's got nothing to do with them, but they're invested in it. How do you deal with that?
Never been too worried about what everybody else thinks. Just try to do what I feel like is best for me and what's right.
How did you guys meet?
Not talking about this.
No?
No.
It's a topic neither one of them is comfortable commenting on.
So when Bill gave his Belichickian answer of, I don't care what people think, it was so Bill. It was like, oh, great. He's an older guy. He's with her. Who cares? Like, we all know what's going on, and that's fine. As soon as she said, my antenna went up. As soon as she said, we're not talking about that.
Yeah.
A guy like me who does not care about Bill and Jordan Hudson.
Now you need to know.
Now I care.
Yes. Well, now you're just morbidly curious because they refuse to answer.
Yeah, because now you create rumors. And I had read a story a while ago that they had met on an airplane and something about Bill helping her out with homework.
As a hostess?
I don't know.
She was a passenger reading some kind of book that Belichick spotted that he was interested in. And he started talking to her about the book she was reading. That was the story we got.
That story was out there. And I took it as, okay, again, whatever. Mm. Like, if you're offended by old man, young girl, that's on you. I don't care.
I don't care about that at all.
So
why is that hard to talk about?
That's the point. As soon as she said, we're not talking about that, I go back to that original story and say, well, is that original story true? Hmm. And if not, what are you hiding? What's going on?
Did she know Bill was going to be on that flight and purposely targeted sitting near Bill on the flight? There's anything that I'm
thinking
about.
Is that the story you're concocting?
Dude, I'm like you. My mind is racing. Something's up. Something's not passing the sniff test. Because guess what? You're Bill Belichick and you're Jordan whoever. Why do you care what the public thinks? You met on an airplane. That should be the end of it.
That's what's so weird about it. Like, as soon as that happened, and then you read the report, TMZ's reporting that she interrupted like 35 times. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah. It was much longer interview, but they couldn't air a lot of it.
Yeah.
Like 30 minutes of it, they couldn't even air.
You know what this reminds me of? And I'm not saying it's going to be the same outcome. Do you remember Richard Simmons?
Yeah, I know who he is.
The guy, the workout guy?
What happened with Richard Simmons?
So all of a sudden, Richard Simmons disappeared. Okay? He disappeared.
Yeah.
And people became obsessed with what's going on with Richard Simmons.
Is this Dave Chappelle?
Because
Dave Chappelle said the same thing. He just disappeared.
He did, but I don't think...
But we kind of knew. We kind of knew what was going on.
Yeah, no one created any like stories about it. It was just like, Dave Chappelle doesn't want to do it anymore. He's at the top of his game. He doesn't want to do it. Okay. In the case of Richard Simmons, stories started to come out that he was being kidnapped by like his housekeeper. It was crazy. Oh, yeah. You heard this?
I don't remember this.
Oh, yeah.
I should, but I don't.
I started listening to a podcast about Richard Simmons and his housekeeper and what they think was going on. Now, I don't know what ultimately happened. I think Richard Simmons unfortunately passed away. I kind of lost interest while he disappeared? No, I think he eventually came out and said something.
Like he came back, and I remember seeing him, and then a few weeks later, he died.
I got to be honest, I kind of lost interest in the whole story. Right. But when there was a rumor...
Because there was nothing controversial.
Well, no, there was. It was... He was being kidnapped by his...
Yeah, but that wasn't corroborated.
I don't know if it ended up being true or not. Oh, okay. I forgot. But this whole thing feels
like
weird.
That?
Like, I'm not saying he's being kidnapped, but there's something off about this whole thing.
Being brainwashed?
I don't know. And
think it's voodoo?
Like, a week ago, I didn't care. And now after that interview, and I think this is happening to a lot of people, not just me, all of a sudden we're like, what the hell's going on?
Mm.
But that wasn't the only thing that was awkward. The Robert Kraft thing was amazing. And I don't think this is getting enough attention. So he's asked point blank, why didn't you acknowledge Robert Kraft in your book? Take a listen to this entire interaction, and I warn you, it's very uncomfortable.
Unless I'm wrong, he's not in this book. How come?
He's not. Well, again, it's about my life lessons in football, and it's really more about the ones that I experienced directly.
But he's not even in the acknowledgement section.
Correct.
Do you feel like you were treated with dignity and respect when you were let go by Robert Kraft?
Yeah, well, it was a mutual decision for us to part ways.
He said fired.
It was a mutual decision.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I just... Well, I mean, that explains why he's not in the book.
He's pissed?
Yeah, of course he's pissed.
But he wasn't fired, Teak. It was mutual.
Yeah, but Robert Kraft said fired. Didn't he?
Yes.
And so Bill's holding a grudge. That's exactly what that sounds like.
Yeah.
He's definitely holding a grudge. And does it matter? Of course not. I mean, he's still the owner, and he's still won all those championships that Bill was the coach of. But he's holding a grudge.
Here's what I know, and I think you're on the right side of this. Mm-hmm. I think both of you guys are on the right side of this. When there were thoughts of Bill Belichick coming to the New York Giants,
yeah,
as a coach, as a GM, as a czar, we always talked about the football reasons why it didn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine this?
Well, forget that.
With everything. No, well, not the Kraft stuff, the girlfriend stuff, the question stuff, oh, everything.
No, yeah, no chance. That would no chance.
Because it would be about everything but the actual football.
Would not have flown in New York, at least with the Giants. No chance that's happening.
And we would be analyzing his relationship with Jordan Hudson at nauseam.
Right, forget that. This explains to me why he's not a head coach in the NFL now.
Hmm.
Because whether we want to accept it or acknowledge it, or the reality is the NFL is 32 owners owning a private company. And it's a $20+ billion company, all with these individual little fiefdoms that every owner has right now. This, I'm not saying this definitely happened, but it feels like the owners didn't want Bill Belichick after Robert Kraft said, "I don't want Bill Belichick."
Or they didn't want Bill Belichick when he's in interviews with Jordan Hudson controlling everything that's going on.
No, had nothing to do with it.
You don't think so?
This was before we even knew about Jennifer Hudson. I'm talking about when...
Not Jennifer Hudson, Jordan Hudson.
I mean, Jordan Hudson.
I want to start new rumors.
Right, but when he was fired, and then immediately everyone said, oh, he'll be back in the NFL next season. And the Atlanta Falcons were the one team that were really willing. They did that one interview with him. Actually, they did a couple interviews with him. But he didn't interview with anybody else. Not even a sniff, not even a curious call. This feels like the owner said, "We don't want Robert, or we don't want Bill Belichick anymore." That's what it sounds like to me.
I have a sort of dangerous long-term prediction for all of us. How does this end?
Not pretty.
The Bill Belichick, Jordan Hudson relationship, non-relationship. Like, it's going to end at some point, I would assume. How does it end?
Mm.
Long-term prediction. April 29th, 4:11 p.m. I'm going to go first. We are going to find out that Bill Belichick and this Jordan Hudson, first of all, they're going to get married. Let's start with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're going to go all the way. They're going to get married. They're going to break up. And then it's going to be like a real messy, messy breakup, where she's going to dish on him like things that we can't even imagine.
Mm.
Not illegal things by any stretch.
Right,
just
right.
Like embarrassing stuff. And Bill will never talk about it, but she will go on a media tour talking about the embarrassing things that Bill Belichick does or likes to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's my prediction.
You know, it's funny. Like 20 years ago, this wasn't an issue. I mean, Hugh Hefner had 23-year-old girlfriend.
It's not about her age.
I know.
That's not the issue. The issue is that she's making it weird by refusing to talk about how they met. In my opinion.
It sounds like she's in control.
And also the stories that are coming out that she's basically controlling the program down in North Carolina.
Yeah,
and
we've had video of that now.
It's not the age thing.
Or wives or whatever. They weren't in control. He was in control.
Right. It's not the age thing.
Yeah.
I really don't think it's that. Mm. That's a common thing. It's just more... It sounds like she's controlling
much. I think the initial infatuation was the age.
Yeah, but no, but the story
now
is
not
that
it's developing, it's, yeah. Yes, no, the but the initial.
The story now is because he was the most controlling head coach of all time, and it is odd to see him publicly feeling like he's being really controlled by this woman.
Right. So how does it end, Tiki Barber? they're going to break up in a month.
Break up. So that you're
before
saying...
Before the summer?
Yeah.
So you're saying mid-May?
Summer breakup.
Or late May? Summer?
Let's say summer breakup.
You're going with summer breakup.
Yes.
Breakup in summer. And then it just goes away?
Yeah.
We don't get like a Jordan Hudson media tour that I'm predicting?
Doesn't it seem too soon?
Would we do her? Would we put her on as a guest, or would that be weird?
No, it'd be weird.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell I'd ask her.
I've got ideas.
I'll list a few questions out for you.
I've got a few.
Is it good? Is it clean enough for air?
Good. Yeah.
We may have to do a podcast.
Exactly.
Sean Morash, how does this Jordan Hudson, Bill Belichick thing end?
They are married. Years down the line, Bill Belichick passes away. She takes the entire estate, leading to a major fight between her and the Belichick family that bleeds into documentaries for years.
Wow. So this is going to last the test of time, then?
Yes.
Until he's gone.
Major.
Okay. Tommy Lugauer.
Bill Belichick wins a national championship at North Carolina, aided by his girlfriend. He is then rehired by the New England Patriots, and he brings them back to prominence, and Evan and Joe have to watch the Patriots beat the Jets for more years to come.
We asked about Jordan Hudson and Bill Belichick's relationship.
Exactly.
So we're
he gave me the whole timeline.
What are you talking about? They're together the entire time.
Oh,
you guys are
gotcha,
Debbie Downers. No, they go live happily ever after.
Tommy meant to say she's the GM of the Patriots.
She's the brains behind the resurgence of Bill Belichick getting back to the Patriots.
No, you never mentioned her. So I thought it was just offsetting into a let's make fun of Joe and Evan prediction. Like, I didn't know there was anything there. All right, we'll check on that when things transpire, if you will. Joe is calling from New Jersey. How are you, Joe?
Hey, fellas, how's it going?
Hold on, Joe. I got to put you on hold. Apparently, we have some breaking news.
We have breaking Mets news.
Oh, boy. Someone's hurt.
Hide your phones. It's a company with sound. The future of A.J. Minter this year is very much in doubt.
Nah.
Any updates on Minter? Just his timetable and the severity of his lat injury?
Yeah, all we know right now is we're dealing with a pretty significant injury here. Mm. So he continues to talk to multiple people to see what we got here. But the one thing we know is pretty significant.
Tim?
Is surgery being discussed in those second opinions?
It is on the table. So, and that's why he's, you know, we're providing him with all the information. So, he makes the right decision. So that's why we're still waiting and talking to multiple people.
And would surgery be season ending?
Yes.
Wow. Well, I'm thinking about it because when I first heard it wasn't a tricep, it was a lat.
Yeah.
My non-educated physical brain said, okay, it's a lat injury. He may miss time, but...
Yeah, but how is it confused? That's weird that it's confused. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Why was it originally a tricep injury?
I think it was more, this is what they thought it was. As he walked off the mound, he felt some discomfort. And then after the game is when they clarified it was actually a lat. So it wasn't like they said it was a tricep.
I understand that. But if you have issues in your tricep, how is that? Your tricep is here.
Yeah.
How does that become here?
I don't know. You tell me. You're the guy with muscles.
I don't know. It's just the fact that it moved that far is very odd to me.
Yeah, that sucks, man. I mean, that just absolutely sucks. A.J. Minter was off to a decent start.
Yes, he was.
He is the one lefty in this bullpen you trust. Obviously, Danny Young is also there, and that's significant. You know, if you were going to tell me he was going to miss 2 months, I'd say, okay, great. It's like a trade acquisition. But losing A.J. Minter for the season is a big blow. You've already seen it over the last couple of days with the Met bullpen, a little shortened without A.J. Minter. Look, there's nothing you could say other than this sucks. It's part of baseball. I mean, injuries are part of baseball, and they're awful. And come July, assuming the Mets are still in this great position, they will probably be bidding on some kind of left-handed reliever. Right. There's really not much you can do about it right now. It's more opening up opportunities for others. Dednell Nunez is currently pitching at AAA. Maybe he comes up and picks up where he left off last year. But unfortunately, much like last year, where the Mets had a hole in terms of a left-handed arm out of the bullpen, they kind of have it again. So clearly by that sound from Carlos Mendoza, it does not sound good. In terms of health of A.J. Minter. A.J. Minter, we barely knew you. I mean, how many games has he actually pitched as a Met?
12.
So, very unfortunate. Oh, by the way, I totally forgot about something, actually. They did sign Brooks Raley a few days ago. Remember Brooks Raley? Who was actually pretty good for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And then he got hurt. He had Tommy John surgery. He's actually coming
back
in June. Yeah.
All right.
The Mets signed him. So you know what? Brooks Raley comes back to replace A.J. Minter.
It's only 2 months.
You know what I was nervous about, T?
What's that?
So I saw the Met lineup. That's all I saw. Just the Met lineup. And there were some interesting missings, if you will, from the Met lineup. And so when Sean broke the glass and said injury, I was actually concerned about, you ready for who? Brandon Nimmo. Because shockingly, even with a lefty on the mound tonight, Brandon Nimmo, who drove in 9 runs yesterday.
He worked too hard yesterday.
He ran too much. He's not in the lineup, which I'm not against. I think Nimmo should get a day off once a week, maybe once every 2 weeks.
Do you want to hear why?
Oh, so he is hurt.
Yeah, Mendy spoke about why he's not in the lineup.
So is he hurt, Sean?
I wouldn't call him hurt, but I have the audio.
Oh, jeez.
Here we go.
Carlos, even though Rodriguez has not put up great numbers against lefties this year, I'm sure that was the reason, theoretically, for resting Brandon today. But was there anything else that went into it?
No, I'm not resting Brandon, especially after that game last night. He's just sick today. He's in rough shape right now. We got a lot of guys dealing with this flu, whatever we want to call it, and fever, pretty weak. So he's getting an IV right now, and hopefully he's a player for us at some point today. But we got to give him a couple hours. But as of right now, he's pretty rough.
You know what I love about that? First of all, I hope Brandon's okay.
Pretty rough. Where were they last? Where were they?
D.C. Saquon got him sick. Or Trump got him sick.
Isn't it like...
Or Big Dom got him sick. Let's just blame the Eagles at this point.
I feel like everybody that we knew, and maybe they're on a different schedule, was sick like a month ago.
Yeah.
The flu was a month ago.
Yeah, but it made its way to D.C. now.
No, it wasn't D.C. It was the same.
Oh.
That's just weird.
Strand.
Yeah.
This is odd.
My favorite part of that clip is Mendy laughing at Howie Rose, and me, I guess,
but I
for suggesting that they would sit Brandon Dimmore for a non-RBI game.
I kind of appreciate how straightforward Mendy is.
Oh, he's very straightforward.
He just tells you.
He is.
Right.
So that's why, well, at least he's not hurt. Yeah, he's just throwing up a lot.
A.J. Minter's going to need surgery, basically, what he told us.
Yeah, it would be.
We're telling him that you probably should get surgery, kid.
Yeah. That sucks for him.
It does suck.
That sucks for him.
He's blunt.
No,
I
think that's what we like about him.
Right,
he's 100%. Very straightforward. He tells you like it is. He even laughed at me and Howie Rose for suggesting he would get Brandon Nimmo an off day after a 9 RBI game. He is giving Jeff McNeil an off day as well. He had a big game yesterday, too.
Right.
Hit a home run, had a triple. By the way, I'll tell you something. You guys can now appreciate this. I'm very happy the Mets won yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Thrilled, some may say. The guy I'm playing in fantasy this week is the owner of Brandon Nimmo and Jeff McNeil. I got destroyed on a Monday with 9 RBIs from Nimmo, and McNeil drove in a bunch of runs. Anyhow, thank you for that piece of news. Let's go back to Joe in Jersey. Sorry, Joe. We had that news. The floor is yours.
That's okay. I understand. Going back to Belichick and his girlfriend, you guys are familiar with Billions, right?
Yeah.
Maybe she's Paul Giamatti or Belichick's dominatrix because he's so controlling in real world and he needs the submissive side in the bedroom.
There is certainly, Joe, a lot of rumors, unsubstantiated, of course, that this is somehow involving, you know, sex.
Yeah.
Which,
but how does that,
what?
He's not controlling him to the point where she's taking over his duties as coach because of, I don't know, her success in the bedroom.
I mean, maybe.
No chance, man. Come
that,
on.
That doesn't happen?
No.
If you are a player at the University of North Carolina, and she's running a lot of things, what's going through your mind as a player?
Well, it depends on what she's running. Like, if she's trying to be a football coach, I'm transferring.
Really?
Yeah. See ya. Now, she's just trying to be supportive of whatever's going on. Great. But, come on.
I'll tell you what you shouldn't do if you're a player. Hit on her.
No.
You can't have a situation in which you end up hooking up with Bill Belichick's girlfriend. That is a scandal waiting to happen.
Right.
We'll get back to your calls in a second. Plus, what are the Yankees doing with their lineup tonight? They are making a change that's certainly necessary. One thing that has continued to bother the New York Yankees, and I think I bring this up every day because I have a chart that I keep, the protection for Aaron Judge is abysmal. In fact, what have I told you? I added it all up.
Yep.
The guys hitting behind Aaron Judge this season have a combined batting average of 191 with 5 home runs and 16 RBIs.
Wow.
And most of those RBIs and home runs came in the first 3 games of the season. 3 home runs and 7 RBIs of that production I just said was in the first 3 games of the season. So the production behind Aaron Judge has been anemic, and it's mostly been Cody Bellinger. And so Aaron Boone needed to make a change desperately. And he did. And so Benjamin Rice is now going to protect Aaron Judge and bat third today with Aaron Judge batting second and Trent Grisham again in the leadoff spot, something that Grisham's been doing a lot lately because you want to get his bat in the lineup. I mean, the bottom line with Trent Grisham is he's actually been productive. So if you're Aaron Boone, you want to get him out there. Now, that means you have to sit somebody. So in yesterday's case, it was Ben Rice. He did not start. In today's case, it's Jason Dominguez.
Mm.
Dominguez is the odd man out. Cody Bellinger's playing left. Grisham's playing center. Judge is playing right. And we mentioned Ben Rice as the DH. You okay with that, Sean?
Yeah, although I got to be honest, Dominguez has been getting steadier and steadier. Another hit last night. I don't love it, but look, if he's going to sit once a week, then it's fine. At some point, though, you know, maybe send the message, sit Bellinger.
Well, that's the guy. I mean, he's looking at production.
Yeah, but you need him defensively, in theory.
Well, Grisham's is good, man.
Oh, well, Grisham is, but...
You could Grisham Dominguez and bring him in for defense late in the game.
No, it's true. I mean, eventually it's going to get to that if Cody Bellinger doesn't start hitting. He's got a beautiful stroke, but he's just not making contact.
I understand it's apples to oranges, outfield to infield. I have a hard time continuing to run Chisholm and Volpe back-to-back in that lineup and then sitting a guy like Dominguez who's getting steadier at the plate.
Well, the thing is with Jazz and Volpe is that you don't have a lot of alternatives. You do in the outfield because of the year that Trent Grisham has had and the fact that Ben Rice has done such a good job at DH. Like, right now, you want to play Oswald Peraza over Anthony Volpe?
No, he stinks, too.
And you know, I mean, what are you going to do? You have to, basically, Jazz Chisholm and Anthony Volpe have to wake up.
And you know what that means, too.
What's that?
I mean, are we going to talk about the elephant in the room with Peraza stinking when he plays and what they're getting? DJ LeMahieu is going to take major league at-bats for this Yankee team.
Well, maybe he'll be good.
No, he won't. He won't.
Well, you don't know that
And
for
he'll
sure.
get a longer leash than some of these guys, but he's coming.
So where are you putting him? Second?
No, he wants to DFA him. He doesn't want DJ LeMahieu.
I don't
on
want
LeMahieu
here, but I think he is going to get at-bats.
I think he's saying he's going to get at-bats, but where is he playing?
I think that he is going to play some combination of third and second at times and spell some of these guys.
It's hard to take Cabrera. I mean, Cabrera has actually been pretty good.
I know.
Not great, but he's been pretty good.
But to that point, Tiki, so is Dominguez, but they're doing this rotation.
Yeah,
I think
Dominguez
gonna...
is a rookie, so I get why you don't trust, to put that in quotes, the rookie to be an everyday guy, but... Cabrera was like an important.
He's a cog.
I'm with him last year, and he's actually off to a good start.
Yeah, but I also think that right now, Oswald Peraza and Pablo Reyes face lefties, and Oswaldo Cabrera does not. And I think that's going to be DJ LeMahieu's role. Mm. Like, I think you're overvaluing how often Aaron Boone's going to force feed DJ LeMahieu into the lineup.
I have scars, man. He's had a long leash with this team.
I totally get it. I think the way it works with DJ is he is on rehab. He's been hitting, by the way. When he comes up here, he's not going to play every day, but all of a sudden, guess what he gives you? He gives you an option. Mm. Maybe Jazz Chisholm, if he doesn't wake up, maybe he sits a day and DJ plays second. Maybe DJ's playing third base against the lefty, which he probably will. The guy who's going to lose playing time is Oswald Peraza. It could be the end of Oswald Peraza. He doesn't have options left, and he's hitting 192.
Right.
Like, at some point, what are you going to do with him?
I mean, DJ LeMahieu's a fossil. He's an option. You know what else is an option? Taking meth. Would you do that?
Did you just compare DJ LeMahieu to meth?
Both are bad for you at this point. Move on.
I'm going to surprise you with this. DJ's got something left.
I really do.
Yeah, well, I think he's got something left.
He hasn't played consistently in 2 years.
Well, because he's been hurt for three years.
I know.
What
makes you think all of a sudden, after being hurt for three, not playing consistently for at least two, that he's going to just figure it out, refigure it out?
Yeah, I'm channeling something that happened 10 years ago right here on this radio station.
Which is?
Joe Beningo would come on every day after A-Rod was suspended and say, I'm just telling you, A-Rod's going to have a big year. And he would say it every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say, oh, okay, we'll see. Finally, one day, Doug Gottlieb called up to yell at Joe and say, why do you think A-Rod's going to have a big year? What is it even based on?
Yeah.
And Joe said, it's just a feeling, bro.
No,
it's just a feeling. And guess what happened?
What? He had a big year?
He had a huge year.
It's because he probably knew he was doing steroids.
That wasn't it. He was clean that year. I look at and I'm going to give you a reason besides I just have a feeling. I'm going to give you a reason. He is a prideful veteran player.
Pride means nothing.
Who I think is going to be healthy for the first time in 3.5 years. And while he'll never be La Machine again, I think he's going to be productive. I think Sean's going to eat those words. Mm. In fact, can you say that again?
You're blaming all the fall on lack of health.
No, I don't blame all of it, but I think it's contributed. Mm. And I think he's got something left. And the something doesn't mean he's going to hit 330. I think the something means he could be a serviceable right-handed bat for a team that needs a little bit more depth. And so I welcome his return because I think he's going to be productive and is actually going to be better than what you've gotten out of Pablo Reyes and Oswald Peraza, which is nothing. Zero. And Jazz Chisholm's done nothing. Zero. And you know what DJ LeMahieu allows you to do? Let's say I'm right and he hits.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What do you do? Right? It's a fair question. Oh, wow. I'm gonna push this one on you. If Jazz doesn't wake up, he sits. If Volpe doesn't wake up, he sits. I now have the options of moving guys, whether it's Oswaldo to shortstop, whether it's Jazz to shortstop, whether it's DJ to second. I have more options. What the hell's wrong with that?
Mm.
Like, why is that a bad thing?
Because he might be the worst option.
Then don't play him.
Okay, but that's the point of even letting him come back. You're going to be re-reminded, and they're going to feel loyalty to the veteran, and they will give him a longer leash. That's my point. Always give him a longer leash.
But what I'm reminding you is that Oswald Peraza and Pablo Reyes are a combined 7-for-40.
You don't got to
remind
not
me. Good.
I'm aware Pablo Reyes
is good.
He's
this
year's Jermaine Jones. I'm well aware.
So then those are the guys that are losing ABs. And if DJ doesn't hit, he won't play as much as I'm describing. If I'm right and he hits, it gives this team more options. It's not a bad thing. You got to get over the scars of LeMahieu.
So the Yankees bring up LeMahieu. Mm-hmm. He stinks like Reyes and Peraza.
He'll be DFA'd.
That was my question to you.
Yes,
I don't trust this organization in DFA.
How long will they give him?
They'll wait until the freaking trade deadline and see if they pick up a backup infielder.
I think it's a trade. Yeah, I'd probably agree that it would be a long time, but I just don't think they'd force feed him out there. Like, if he's not hitting, I don't think he's going to play every day.
I don't necessarily believe that'll happen because they didn't do it a couple years ago, but I still believe that there's got to be a different option, and it's just not presenting itself.
You guys are going to eat your words. Hmm? I'm telling you right now. I'm now even more confident of it.
I'd rather Yorbit Vivas, by the way.
That's fine. Yeah. Yorbit came up.
I'm going to eat my words. I'm not going to eat my words because I've seen my words for the last 3 years. LeMahieu is not good anymore.
So he won't be good this year at all?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
You say it into the microphone clear just so I have it so I can save it.
Playing DJ LeMahieu in the year 2025 is like being offered meth. You shouldn't take that option. It's bad for you.
Marash, you're an idiot.
That's perfect. Let me save that. Tiki, you want to say something into the mic about DJ LeMahieu?
No.
What do you mean,
what do you want me to say?
Say DJ
I prefer not to see DJ LeMahieu in the Yankees lineup.
Say DJ LeMahieu sucks.
Hey, you got that? Clip that.
No, you wrote me into it. I didn't say he sucks.
I didn't say anything.
You know what I'm doing right now? I'm getting my Yahoo app out right now. I'm picking up DJ LeMahieu. I'm putting him on my fantasy team.
There's no way you're actually doing that.
You don't believe me? Let me see his, hold on. Let me see if he's available. He is. First base and third base. And I could stick him right on the IL. First base, third base isn't bad. Mm. And then he'll eventually play a little second base. I stick him over at second base. That's some pretty good versatility right there.
Before you take a call, I do actually have sad news to pass along that the Mets have announced. Okay. In all seriousness. The Mets have learned of the passing of Seymour Wiener. I'm serious. So condolences to his family.
The war hero from opening day last year.
Opening day last year that everybody went nuts for. He has sadly passed away.
How old was Mr. Wiener?
The Mets did not offer that detail.
But he did pass away?
He did pass
away. He was World War II.
World War II, yeah. I'm glad he got the honor of being the veteran of the day on opening day, which is a very, very cool honor. So condolences to Seymour Wiener's family. Let's go to Shia in Queens. How are you, Shia?
Hi, Evan. How are you guys?
What's up?
First time caller, big fan. One point on the Knicks, 2 points on the Yankees.
Yes.
Next point. Do you think, based on the first two games, that this game will be more or less violent than the other game? Then will the ref actually make some calls? And then on the Yankees, why can't Dominguez just bat from the left side? That's so much better from the left side. And then on your point on Twitter, I totally agree. It's like a horror movie watching in bed. Terrible.
I got to be honest with you. We had a tough time hearing the Yankee point. The Knick point in terms of the officials, my gut on tonight's game and the way it's officiated is I think they're going to officiate it very tightly. Mm. Like, I think we're actually going to get lot of whistles. There's
been a lot of noise about the non-whistles.
Yeah, especially
the whole series.
Especially in the third quarter of game four. So my guess is, and it's just a guess, I mean, we could look at the tendencies of Jason Goebel, who is one of the officials tonight. And by the way, I bring that up because Tom Thibodeau hates Jason Goebel. There is a history between the New York Knicks and Jason Goebel. If you go back to the Rockets game from a year ago where they freaked out about that non-call, the official was Jason Goebel.
Right.
But so there is a history.
Yeah, but that's just a moment in time.
I agree. I don't think Jason Goebel's going to fix the game for the Detroit Pistons by any stretch.
No intentionality there.
But if I had to guess like how this game is officiated tonight, I think they're going to be very tight. That'd be my guess. I think we're going to get a lot of whistles. And I don't prefer that. Now, we can argue who it benefits. See, I think what ended up happening was people thought, especially in Detroit, that that would benefit the Pistons.
Mm-hmm. Meaning the non-calls.
The non-calls.
The physicality.
Because the Pistons are the rougher team. They're the bad boys reincarnated and all that garbage. And the Knicks matched the physicality, leaned into it, showed some toughness, and I don't think it was detrimental to them at all.
No. It's why like you hate listening to the Detroit Piston coach and players bitching about the no calls.
Yeah.
Because it's what you wanted.
You're right.
Right? You thought you could bully the Knicks, and now you haven't done it, and you're not getting the calls when they go the other way, so just shut up about it.
Yeah.
Just play basketball.
Shut up and play basketball. Wait, what was that phrase that caused major controversy?
Shut up and dribble.
Shut up and dribble. That's what I was thinking about. Except it's a very different meaning here.
Yes.
It's just stop whining about the officials.
Right.
But I'll make you this prediction. Oh, I got this one. Somebody, some fan base, not sure which one, will whine and complain and blame tonight's loss on the officials. Mm. If the Knicks lose, it'll be Knicks fans crying.
No doubt about
it. If the Pistons lose, it'll be Piston fans crying.
That's the easiest prediction you've ever made.
You like that one?
It's very easy.
That's an easy one.
It's been every game.
But there's one way for me to be incorrect.
How?
If the Knicks win by 30.
Yeah.
Because at that point, if it's a blowout,
then the officiating doesn't even matter.
Yeah, then, like, are you really whining, or are you just taking your medicine that you got your butt
there? Still will be complaining because the discourse will be about game four.
Will you complain?
I won't, but this is like last year in the Philly series. No, I'm not going to call anybody out on social media.
Will you complain? If the Knicks lose tonight, will you promise us you will not blame the officials?
No, I won't blame. I rarely blame the officials. Have one of your cronies check if I've ever done that. I'm not a big official blamer.
Well, how can my cronies check? Like, we don't listen to every second of everything you've ever said.
No, on Twitter. I'm saying the Twitter discourse.
Well, Twitter's just one piece of information. You on the air have never complained about officials, Tommy? Are you sure about that?
I don't think so, but maybe. Maybe negative Tommy or maybe 2022 Tommy. But I'm just saying the online discourse is about the officiating. Everything I see from all these Twitter accounts and celebrities, it's about the calls. And it was the same thing in the Philly series. And it almost gets lost. Thankfully, they won that game in game six and it released us from the officiating. Hopefully that happens again tonight, but I just have a weird feeling it's not going to go.
I love how
Tommy's just stopped calling it X and just calling it Twitter.
Well, because again, when people say you're on X, I think of something a lot different as being a teenager in the 90s.
Uh-huh.
I don't think of social media.
No.
It's not X. Like, just because that's a name change, like there are certain name changes in the world that I'm sorry, like I just can't get behind.
Evan still calls it Pac Bell.
I do.
You know, you still
call
it.
That's a great example, yeah.
What's the one in Houston? Enron Field. Or Jacobs Field.
Oh, speaking of Enron Field and the Astros, I have a story for Tiki Barber. I think he's going to love
it. What is it now?
This.
Minute Maid?
No, they changed it again.
I don't know.
Daikin.
Yeah. Really?
D-A-I-K-E-N, Daikin Field. You think I'm making this up?
No, it's just amazing how many name changes these places go through.
Yeah, the one thing I am a hypocrite on, though, guys, is that when I score games, I will put the official name of the stadium in the scorecard.
That's for
as opposed to protesting.
That's for when you do your next book, that it's accurate.
I don't even know if it's that.
That way your editor doesn't come and correct it for you.
Oh, would they?
I'm sure they would, because it's not the right name.
I have an amazing baseball story. This is a true story about the Houston Astros for Tiki Barber as an athlete.
Okay.
I'm curious how you're going to take this. Are you guys aware of the Jose Altuve lineup change story? You guys aware of this?
The current one?
Yeah,
yes.
Currently.
Yes.
Oh, you know what happened?
Yeah.
Oh, Tiki, let me explain it to the audience. You tell me your thoughts.
Yeah.
Jose Altuve.
Stop being a little bitch. Run faster.
He's been leading off for many, many years. This year, they moved him from second base to left field. Okay? Jose Altuve's been struggling and goes to the manager and says, Skip, because I'm playing the outfield and then I've got to run into the dugout after the top of the first inning, I think I'm tired before my first at bat. So can you move me to the two hole so I have more time to rest?
That is such an excuse. That is such an excuse. I don't even know what this like. He's such a great player.
He's wonderful.
But come on. Really?
He's tired by running in from left field? Jose, come on.
First of all, it's not that far. And second of all, you have plenty of time in between innings. Plenty of time.
So you think Jose Altuve is a little...
Yes.
No, you guys are wrong on this.
Why?
All three of us are fathers. What do we do to get our kids to go to sleep? We make them run around, right? Get all the excess out? They got little legs.
No, I have an 11-year-old. I just say go to bed.
and if she
goes to bed at 2 o'clock, then so be it. It's her fault
but when
being
younger,
tired the next day.
Altuve's got the little legs, man. He's getting tired.
So you turn this into making fun of Altuve's height somehow?
I'm just saying. It's like any one of us were little kids.
Stop being short biased.
Yeah, because Jose Altuve's got tiny legs, he gets really tired running in from left field, so they have to move him to the two hole so he has more time to rest up.
It's no different than little Spence passing out after a long day at the playground, Ev.
You know what I tried today with the boys?
What?
I feel guilty. Like
are they not in school?
No, they are in school. But I feel guilty that, you know, I can't hang out with them during the day. We do this show. All right? I mean, it's beautiful weather outside.
And aren't they in school?
And they're in, no, but I mean like 3, 4, 5, 6 o'clock. Like a lot of fathers, a lot of mothers are able to do that. We can't do it because of our hours. So I'm like, all right.
I think most men, women, they kind of work till like 5 or 6.
Oh, that's normal is what you're saying? Oh, damn it.
What are you talking about?
All right, so then this is for everybody out there who can relate to this, where you're just not home in the afternoon, especially on these beautiful days.
Yes.
And so my son, my oldest son, was like, I want to practice baseball. He's in Little League this year. I'm like, what the hell am I supposed to do? Because by the time I get home, it's their bedtime. Like, what do I do?
Let them stay up later.
So this, now I tried it differently. So this morning, I woke him up at 6 a.m.
Oh, God.
Got in the shower, got him dressed, ate breakfast, practiced piano, did homework. And I said, boys, we're going to the baseball field. And we went to the baseball
field. Before school.
Before school. And I threw BP, live BP to the boys. It was a wonderful time. But all I could think about was, what's going to happen to these poor teachers? Like, are they going to get to school completely exhausted?
Yes.
You think so?
Definitely.
Well, I'll find out tonight or tomorrow. But that's my my new plan. So for anyone out there who has that same issue, wake up early.
Mm.
Like, you should do it too, Sean. Aren't your daughters playing T-ball?
Oh, yeah.
Don't they want to practice with daddy?
Sunday, we did a big 2-hour session.
Well, what about
by
during
2 hours,
week?
I mean 20 minutes. what about during the week?
Yeah.
They got Wednesday night games. My wife's coaching.
No, but what about you? Don't you want to be a part of it?
Of course I do.
So that wake
you're
up
both
early.
Coaching?
Well, my wife now apparently has gotten roped into coaching first.
So you're coaching and she's coaching first?
No, I'm not coaching anything because I'm here on Wednesday.
I thought you said Saturday. She's your backup coach, is what you're saying?
Yeah, apparently she's pitching in now.
So, like, if Carlos Mendoza got sick and could not manage, his wife would just step in and be like, I got this. Hand me the lineup card.
My wife hasn't watched a Yankee game in 11 years.
I was
going to
say,
first.
Does she know what she's doing?
No. I mean, yeah, I guess run.
Right. So are you going
to... No, she actually needs to tell him to stop.
Right, it's the opposite. Are you going to follow my line of thinking?
Wake
5 a.m., wake up, and start playing in the morning?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. They get a bowl of cereal from me and a ride. That's what my kids get from me.
He's a lazy, lazy man. But he does have our Cinco de Five-O coming up, and a new feature here on Evan and Tiki. Every day right after the Cinco, we find out from WFAN Sal Licata if the NL East is over. Plus, let's get you set for Game 5. Tonight could be a closeout night and a historic night at Madison Square Garden. What do they need to do to close them out? We'll get to it coming up, plus your calls at 888-808-1019. Are you confident that tonight is the night where the Knicks are going to advance for the first time at Madison Square Garden since 1999?